Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, I love that, above all what? Taking the shield of faith wherewith ye are able to quench what? All the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It keeps coming back to me, the spiritual warfare that the believer's in. And we can turn around. There's people who think they're enemies that are in their own house, enemies in their neighborhood. And if they're physical, you know what? They're not our enemies. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I'm not preaching on spiritual warfare tonight. What I want to do is zero in wherein it says in verse 16, above all, taking the what? Shield of faith, where ye be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now I know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not in God's word, your faith will be weak. But even if you're in the word of God and you don't apply it to yourself, your faith will be weak. Because you know when faith is fighting for you? It's when you personally take what God is saying, you accept it and surrender your will to his in obedience to that, and go forward in that battle fighting that way. Okay, because we're not to be fighting against each other. And Satan will try to attack our homes. He'll try to attack our marriages. He'll try to attack our children. He'll try to attack our grandchildren. He'll try to attack our neighbors. He'll try to attack the people we work with to get at us. You ever wonder when somebody, I don't care if maybe men you're working or women or whatever it is, all of a sudden you go, why are they acting that way? What did I ever do to them? It may not be anything you did to them. And you don't understand. Do you realize that while there is a battle in the Middle East that millions of lives are involved in, and it's a physical battle, the spiritual battle that's taking place there is greater than the physical? I pray for that battle every day because I want there to become a temporary peace over in Israel, because I know that before my Savior comes, by faith I believe what God's Word says, and it says there needs to be a time of peace before the Antichrist can be revealed, and I get out of this world. So I'm praying for Iran to tumble. I'm not praying against the souls of those people. They need to be saved, just like Americans do. But that regime is satanic. Okay? And that's not the part of the message, but the thing is, we are in that battle. And it will be a battle within your family. It will be a battle within your children. It will be a battle within your marriage. It will be a battle within your families. And if you want to be able to stand fast in the Lord, you have to, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench how many? All. We got to start looking and realizing that they're fiery darts. And it's not a problem between you and me or someone else. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to steal our testimony. He wants to kill our love. He wants to destroy our families. Because why will unsaved people want what we have if we don't have something that's different than them? Amen? So you're with me tonight. Okay. It's the shield of faith. You know, how many attacks that we've been through, Judy and I, we face them all the time. How many attacks can we stop with the shield of faith? Turn to Romans chapter 8. You're going to be going to a few different places in your Bible tonight because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and you got to know which you're having faith in your Savior. My Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Satan's method of attack and his minions, unclean spirits, familiar spirits, generational spirits that work in families, it hasn't changed. It's been that way from before the Garden of Eden. If you want to know what I'm saying there, talk to Pastor Kenny. All right? Through the Garden of Eden and all the way through. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. Spiritual soldiers. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor what? Nor what? Nor powers. I just read about them in Ephesians chapter 6, didn't I? They're trying to steal your belief that God loves you and is going to protect you when you come under his wings. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing that you're facing right now and nothing that you will face. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to know tonight, if you're saved, I don't care how young you are, if you're saved, you need to start believing by faith what God says. Your faith is important. Do you know that when you're trying to witness to somebody, the first thing they look at is you? They look at your testimony. Judy and I, with every divine appointment since her cancer was diagnosed, and she'd given a death sentence, we use that as an introduction to pray for somebody. And we tell them that testimony, because you know how many people can get mad at you and say, God, I'd like to tell you a story about my wife. Or Judy said, I'd like to tell you about how God's healing me. And they want to hear because they want that to take place in them or in their loved ones. They want to have that really be true. Does God really heal? So many times people tell you, no, he doesn't. They don't believe God heals their body. They don't believe God can heal their marriage. They don't believe God can heal their nation. And we start off telling them about what God's doing for us. And they say, and we know God answers prayers. We're nothing special, but we know he answers prayers, and he's answering our prayers. What can, because she's still alive. Every day is a new day for us. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us, what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Every day. Take no thought for tomorrow, for you know not what evil the day may bring forth. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to steal you of your today so he can mess up your tomorrow and make you forget what God has already brought you through. Amen? You still with me? Your faith is important. You can't get saved without faith. John chapter 3, verse 36. People say, why do you talk about salvation on a Wednesday night? It's a prayer meeting night. Because I've had a young person that claimed salvation in this church early on, before I was the pastor. And then they got saved later on. Mary. I don't care. She's not getting upset at me. Mary, if you're upset at me, talk to me afterwards. She professed Christ as a little girl and then was afraid of hell every time it got preached on until she got saved. Okay? And she's a pastor's wife. All right? John chapter 3, verse 36. This is, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall abideth on him. It takes faith to get saved. You know what sometimes, you know what it needs? It says, be ready always with an answer for the hope that what? Do you got to, you have hope? Okay. Every time I think of that verse, I think, you got to have hope. Lots and lots and lots of hope. Okay. Yeah, I'm a song nut too. It's a thing that gets caught in here and it comes out at different times. Kevin Thomas is senior, is married to Nancy. She's one of those kooks too, you can't get songs out and everything, but see, that's just the way it works. You know, we are to be believers and we are to live by faith, okay? And with that faith, then you can have hope. Without faith, there is no hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's in your Bible. Did you know that? If you don't, read Hebrews chapter 4, come back and ask Pastor Kenny about it. See, I haven't said that in so long, I have got to get that out. I said it twice on Sunday morning during Sunday school. That's right, Hebrews 11, that's right, 11:1. I keep, it's not Hebrews 4, it's not Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 is, okay, a different passage dealing with, God dealing with you is not as bastards, but as sons, okay? Okay, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, man, and have grace to help, find grace to help in time of need. I'll get those. You know, there's so many verses going in here that some they're coming out wrong. Okay, thank you, Father. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? For God so loved the world, put your name there, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, put your name there, should not perish, but have everlasting, intermittent, you can lose it. He said, no. It says everlasting life. I don't agree with Bill. The president, not your father, okay? I'm losing names tonight, okay? Bill Clinton, but you know he claims to be saved. He was asked when he ran for the presidency about that. He was raised in the Southern Baptist Church, and he goes, once saved, always saved. Okay? If he's truly saved, I'm going to see in heaven, okay? His wife has never said that. It's not in Jezebel's vocabulary, okay? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in the world that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. What? So they're already condemned. They're not the enemy. They're prisoners of war. They're condemned to execution for all eternity. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. See, I want you to understand, there's other verses we can go, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They're salvation verses, okay? It takes faith to believe them. Romans 10, about verse 8 through 17. And verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot please God. That's in Hebrews 11. I got that one right. You can't please God without faith. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must what? Believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to please God tonight? You have to live by faith. If you're not living by faith, you're living by self-righteousness. And God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I had a conversation with a couple, not in the church. And I was asking them questions, okay? And as I was counseling with them, and I said, how does contention come into a marriage? How does contention come into a marriage? And the wife knew the answer. And the husband wasn't sure. And I said, quote it for me. And it says, only by pride cometh contention. You know how contention comes in a church? Pride. I didn't write this book. It says, only by pride cometh contention. You're not treating me right. I don't like that. Well, you're not treating me right. Well, treat me better, I'll treat you better. I don't deserve to be treated that way. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we, what? Obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. See, you can't please God if without faith. You can't have victory over the world in your life without faith. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 4 of 1 John 5. For whatsoever is, no, it didn't say whosoever, it says whatsoever, because it's your spirit if you're saved. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What part of you is born of God? Is your flesh born of God? I trow not. The flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so you cannot do that which God would have you to do. Right? And your soul gets caught in the middle of that. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What's the victory? Even our faith. There's a lot of people who say, well, I have faith. What do they have faith in? When someone talks to me, I asked somebody last week, I said, if you were to die, do you know today if you would go to heaven? And they go, yeah, I know I would. What do you base that on? Well, I believe. I have faith. Well, what do you believe in? Just because you think brother, brother, sister, sister, you're in Christ, they say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. There's people who think they're saved by their church attendance. There's people who think they're saved by their good works. You ask them if they're saved, they'll tell you yes. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, faith shows you absolutes. And you got to learn, you got to be able to have the scripture to ask them the questions to show them that they don't have. There's faith. I was kidding with somebody, I was talking to them about, I am an uber competitive person. It's been stated before. And I remember when we were playing a game of musical chairs over in the old building, and I was winning. And there was two women and me left. And there was two chairs. And I think Russ Getman was playing the piano and he stopped. And Lucy Scott and Lauren Scott were left with me. And I looked at Lauren and she sat down and I sat down, threw my hip sideways, and she bounced off the floor 5 feet over. And I had a chair and Lucy had one next to me. Okay? So then we played it again, and they went there and they played the music, and all of a sudden it stopped. And I had a vision of Jesus. Because Lucy Scott went, she wouldn't sit down. So I stepped back and I said, you win. See? Because I have to put my flesh under every day. Do you know what I'm saying? Got to put it down. She couldn't believe that she won. I couldn't believe she got that candy bar for winning either. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the... You can't have victory. You can't overcome without faith. It's not faith in my abilities, not faith in my words, not faith in my talents, not faith in my good works, not faith in my sincerity. It's faith in my Savior and that God is not a man that he can lie. So I can claim the promises. That's why we claim them every day. I was talking with Sam Gipp last week, and he goes, Brother Bryant, send me those Psalms you're reading. Because I had a long conversation with him about it. He and I are of the brotherhood of the hurts every day a lot. So I was making a suggestion to him, and he goes, some people, you know, I get people from all over this country and this world telling me what I ought to do so my pain will go away. You know, what's the newest, next, best thing? You know, Eye of Newt. Okay? And he goes, if something's helping you, I'm willing to try it. Something working. Okay? So iron sharpeneth iron, because that man's helped me stay in the ministry. Amen? So we talk. You can't have victory without it. Look at Romans chapter 5. You can't be saved without it. You can't please God. Don't you know that when you don't feel like you're pleasing the person you love, it just kind of tears you up if you really love them? Don't you like pleasing the one you love? Don't you like pleasing the one who showed you love first? You'll do more for love than you ever will for duty. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being what? Justified by faith, we have what? Peace with who? I want peace with my heavenly Father because I don't want to be taken to the woodshed. Because for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. If you receive not chastening, then you're bastards and not sons. And Pastor Kenny will tell you where that is in the Bible because he's already mentioned it once. Hebrews 12. Okay. By whom also we have access, how? Into what? The grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You want to have God's grace in your life? The access to that is through faith. And the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to what God's Word says. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You can't have peace with God without faith. Turn to Matthew, get James chapter 1 and Matthew 21. Two passages for this point. And I'm trying to go quick enough. Judy goes, honey, he's starting early. You're going to let him out early? And I looked at her and said, no. James chapter 1. We're going to go there first. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men how? God wants you to know. Another place in my Bible it says, you have not because you ask not. You ask and have not because you ask it amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. When you're asking God for something that's not good for you, it's going to lead to sin, and you don't get it, you can't blame that on God. He loves you, doesn't want you to have that. But if you want wisdom, If any man you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men how? And upbraideth not. You can pray for my wife. You can ask her. How many of you have ever seen the commercial cap with a Captain Obvious? I have this tendency to ask my wife a question to make sure that she's seeing what's very plainly in front of her. And she looks at me and goes, I already know that. Isn't that obvious? And I go, I just wanted to make sure. And so then God has to show me again that my wife is smarter than me, and she got it before me, okay? Kind of hard to argue with a woman who spends about 2.5 hours in her Bible every morning. Okay. If you, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be what? All the promises of God are yea and not nay. You want wisdom? You got your heart right? You come before God humbly? He'll give it to you. But let him ask how? Verse 6. In faith. Nothing. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I've never forgot the illustration. It's not new with Pastor Christian, but it was the first time I ever heard it. And he talked about a woman. There was a preacher back in the 1700s or 1800s who came upon a woman, and she'd come to a crossroads in the road, and he'd watched her for 5 or 10 minutes, and she'd pick up the stick and throw it up in the air, and it would land. And she'd go, no. And then she'd pick up the stick, and she'd throw it again up in the air, and it'd land, and she'd go, no. And the preacher said, ma'am, what are you doing? Why are you throwing the stick in the air? Well, I've asked God what direction I'm supposed to go in, and I've prayed and I'd asked him, and every time I throw that stick, it comes down and it's facing in this direction, and that's not where I want to go. So she throws it again because she's not doing it by... If God shows you something, you ask him about it, and then you don't do it, you're like a wave tossed to and fro on the sea. Do you realize there's one of the most chilling verses for me is found in the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalms. It's talking about Israel as an example to us. And they kept asking for God and asking of God and asking of God. And he says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. When you won't act on what God is showing you, why do you think he's going to tell you something different? You got to ask him. Matthew 21. Lord, please help me with that. But I don't want to do it that way, Lord. Look at this verse, Matthew 21 and verse 22. Just that little verse there. And then it says, well, this is the wrong, this is not dispensationally right for us, Pastor. Do you know sometimes God does things that crosses dispensations? Verse 22, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, what's the key? Believing. Ye shall receive. I had a conversation with my general practitioner. I had an appointment with a doctor. I've had one Monday. I had one yesterday. I had one at 7:10 this morning. That's not my good time. Okay, because I fell asleep about 4. And I was up at 6. So my wife, she's already up out reading her Bible, and made my mushroom coffee with beetroot in it so that my blood pressure will stay down, and the coffee's a, anti-inflammatory and stuff. And she makes it, and she didn't say a word to me. And I come out of my bedroom, and she knew that was not a time to talk to me. And I got ready and went out the door, and I was at the doctor's office 5 minutes ahead of time. I got there at 7:05, and I had a 7:10 appointment, and I sat there for 15 minutes. My doctor is a saved man, lives in the area. Started talking to him about my wife, talking to him, and he goes, "Yeah, I was just listening to a message this past week, and it's that same story. You've heard that illustration before, haven't you?" He calls me, sometimes he calls me Jim, sometimes he calls me Pastor Legault. And he goes, "You know that one about God sending the boat, right? You're praying and asking God to deliver you from something." And he said there was a flood coming. And he said this woman, she was praying and saying, "God's going to deliver me." And they came through and they knocked on all the doors in the neighborhood and said, "You got to leave, the waters are coming. And if you don't leave, you're going to drown." She says, "Well, God's going to save me. I've prayed and I've asked him. He's going to deliver me." So pretty soon the water got up and it covered all the steps coming into the house, and it's got onto the first floor. And she's in the upstairs window of the house, and they come by in a boat. And they say, "Lady, you got to climb in to come down and climb into the boat. The floods are going to come and you're going to drown." She says, "Well, no, I've prayed and I've asked God to deliver me. He's going to save me from the flood." So pretty soon, the flood got so high, it filled the upstairs part of the house. It's like you live in New Orleans, right? Below sea level. And it got above the second level of the house, and she's up on the roof. She'd climbed out, and her cat were sitting up on the roof. And they came by with a helicopter, and the guy drops down on the rope ladder and says, "Lady, you've got to come with me. The waters are rising. It's not going to stop yet. And we want to take you to safety. You're going to drown." She says, "No, I prayed and God's going to deliver me." What happened to the lady? She drowned. Her cat drowned. So you know what happens? Your choices always affect somebody else. And she went to heaven and she's standing before Jesus. And she goes, "Jesus, I prayed and I asked you to deliver me. And I trusted you and I had faith." And he goes, "Lady, I sent them when they could walk to your house. I sent a boat. I even sent a helicopter." You weren't listening to me. She had in her mind how it was supposed to be happening. He was telling the story about a person that was claiming divine healing. This is a doctor talking to me, claiming divine healing. But they did nothing else along with that. Do you know sometimes God can heal you miraculously with nothing? Sometimes he can heal you with stuff naturally. Moi. Sometimes he'll work through Western medicine. Believe it or not, God can use a doctor to heal you. Because I said, I was talking to Dr. G, and I said, "I don't know why God heals one and doesn't heal another. All I know is he's given my wife and I a new day today. I saw her before I left. I kissed her before I left. I'm here, and every day's a new day for us, Doc, because she's supposed to be dead last April." And I said, "She's alive by faith. We talked about the Psalms we claim. We talk about what she's doing." And he goes, "How long will she take the fenbendazole? Because I've been reading on that too." And that's when he started the story about a person who came to him and said, "I'm claiming divine healing," and then rejected anything with that. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's a demand upon God to do it your way. You still with me? Answered prayer only comes through faith. "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And with that, we will stop and continue this, because I've got points 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 to go. So I've got enough for next Wednesday night, as we'll continue on why faith is important to the believer. Tonight, it's important because you can't get saved without faith. It's important because you can't please God without faith. It's important because you can't have victory over the world in your Christian walk without faith. It's important to you because you can't have peace with God without faith. It's important to you because truly answered prayer only comes by, I can't hear you, by faith. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.